Would you join me again in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for the scriptures, a light of revelation, revealing you to us, revealing your will for our lives to us. Lord, would you help us this morning to hear from you? I pray that you would open our ears that we might hear, that you would open our eyes that we might see. You would open our minds and our hearts that we might understand the truth and the beauty of your word for us today. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning is the sixth sermon that I've preached on Jesus' conversation with his disciples about his coming and the end of the age. All six of these sermons, all of these portions of this long extended conversation that Jesus had with his disciples have centered around the theme of watchfulness, readiness, waiting and preparing and being ready for the coming of the Lord. And once again, this morning, the text hammers home these themes. I hope that you're like me. Sometimes I'm slow to get things, you know. I remember growing up, my mom would say to me, I've told you 1,000 times, you know. And I'd be like, well, I need 1,001, so I make sure I get it. Well, Jesus is sort of like, I'm going to keep telling you this so that you'll be ready, so that you'll be prepared. Over and over and over again, he's saying to his disciples and to us, I want you to be ready. And so he continues this morning in the text, once again saying, be ready, be watchful, because you do not know the day or the hour. He tells the story of 10 bridesmaids who are waiting for the bridegroom. Now, it's a very straightforward story. One of the things that we often do to get ourselves into trouble is we try to go too deep into things. We try to imagine, well, what does the oil represent? And what is it about the bridegroom being delayed? And what we try to look into things that aren't necessarily the point of the story. Jesus' point in telling this story is that there's a group of people that are waiting for his coming. 5 of them are wise and 5 of them are foolish. And the distinguishing factor between wisdom and folly is just this. It's readiness. Being ready, being prepared is the distinction between wisdom and folly. Being ready for the coming of the Lord. That's what he says in verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Now, this story is just re-emphasizing all of these things that Jesus has been talking about. But another lesson that we learn as he tells these stories and he talks about his coming again is that we will not know when he is going to come. We've talked about over and over again throughout Matthew 24 and now as we move into Matthew 25 that the sign of the coming of the Son of Man is the coming of the Son of Man. When he appears, we will see him. But he's coming at a time that we do not expect. Interestingly, last week, in the story that Jesus told of the faithful servant or the wise servant who was left in charge of his master's household, the master was back sooner than they expected. They were caught unawares because he came back before they had thought he would get there. Now in the story that Jesus tells this morning, he's later than they expected. He's delayed. And I think what we can see from this is that there is no point trying to calculate the time of his return. So much ink has been wasted by Christians writing books trying to pinpoint the date and the time of his coming again. Jesus is saying to us, and I've said it over and over again over the last 6 weeks, always be ready. Always be ready so that you don't get locked out. Live every day and every moment as if Jesus were coming back right now, and you'll be ready. If you're living today with a passion and a love for him and he comes back, you'll be ready. If you're living today in expectation and hope of his coming again, you'll be ready. Jesus is saying this over and over and over again to us. Be ready. And as I mentioned before, it's so appropriate that we find ourselves at this portion of the text because this is precisely what Advent is all about. The word Advent, you see, comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means the approach or the arrival. And the verb form of the word Adventus is Advenio, which means I am coming. Advent means I am coming. Christ is coming, we sang this morning. Let creation from her groans and travail cease. We are looking forward in certain hope on this Sunday of hope to his coming again. But with the words of Jesus ringing in our ears to be ready, to be prepared, we have to ask the question, how can we be ready? I'm going to depart sort of from the text of the story of the 10 bridesmaids and look at another portion of Scripture which speaks directly to this point this morning. If you have your Bible or you want to follow along, I'm going to read from 1 John, the first epistle of John, in the second chapter, where he talks specifically about being ready for the coming of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, John writes, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." John here is giving us a very specific application to the story that Jesus tells in Matthew 25, to everything that Jesus has been saying in Matthew 24 and 25 about being ready and prepared for his coming. And John's answer is simply this: abide in him. The word abide sometimes is translated remain. But it also has the connotation of dwelling in, to have one's home in, abiding in. When you think about where do you abide, you live in your home. You know, we talk about this almost every year at Advent. You know, we spent a lot of time yesterday getting this sanctuary ready and prepared for Advent. We decorated, we cleaned up, we put things in their place in anticipation of coming together as a family and participating in Advent. There's work in preparation to be done, and we get our places of dwelling prepared. The word abide strikes at that, I think. John says to us that the key to being ready for Christ's second advent is to simply abide in him, to live in him. And this is the thought of Scripture from beginning to end. It reminds me of the psalmist's words in Psalm 90, which begins, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations." Psalm 91 continues and says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent." You see, abiding in Christ is dwelling with God. And when we make our abode in him, when we dwell in God, when we abide in Christ, we live in safety and peace. We live in shalom, the promise of the kingdom, where everything that is needed is provided, where every wrong is made right, where the world is as God intended it. That's why when we sang Christ is coming, the next line is, "Let creation from her groans and travail cease," because everything that is wrong about this world and even the brokenness of creation will be made right and will no longer groan at the brokenness of this world. Abiding in Christ, dwelling in God, brings shalom, peace, and safety. But even more so, as I think about John's words in 1 John chapter 2, when he says, "abide in him," it makes me think of the words of Jesus himself in John's gospel. In John chapter 15, where Jesus is with his disciples at the Last Supper, he speaks to them words of comfort and words of instruction in terms of being ready for his coming again, in terms of how to live while he's away. In John chapter 15, Jesus says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." The wise bridesmaids, ready for the coming of the bridegroom, showed themselves ready because they were abiding in him. They were prepared for his coming again. Jesus saying that our lives can only be what he desires for them to be if we abide in him. But how do we do that? How do we abide in Jesus? Well, again, John in his epistle, if we go back to chapter 2, he says in verse 24, "See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you." Now, again, abides in you. "If it does, you also will remain or abide in the Son and in the Father." What you have heard from the beginning. What is that? What is it that we have heard from the beginning? From the beginning of our relationship with God through His Son Christ. It is the proclamation of the kingdom. It's the good news of the gospel. And if we want to be ready and prepared for the coming again of Christ, we need to live every moment of every day reminding ourselves of that good news. We often say, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Remind yourself of the good news of the kingdom, that Christ is coming and that he will make everything wrong, that make right everything that is wrong. He will bring shalom and peace on earth. We can be the wise bridesmaids. We can be the wise attendants. If we are rooting our life in the life of Jesus, if we're putting ourselves into the story of Christ and living it out as faithful followers of Jesus. Paul writes about it as well in Colossians. In chapter 2, he says this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Again, the reminder that continue your Christian walk, continue to be working on preparedness by going back to what you were at the beginning, a person who had embraced Christ, who had fallen in love with Christ, who was rooted in a hope that came from knowing Christ, and who was rooted in the Word of God. Again, he points us back to the Scripture and to the promises of hope that are found in the gospel, to the words of Jesus himself, who came to offer us life and life abundantly. If we want to be a people ready and prepared for his coming, we need to take the Word of God and hide it in our heart, to remind ourselves daily of the promises and the truths of God's Word. One of the great descriptions of the gospel of hope, again, this Sunday is the Sunday of hope in Advent, is found in Paul's great description of the gospel in Romans chapter 5. Let me read for you the first five verses of Romans 5. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. Think back to when you first came to know Christ. Maybe you're like me and you were brought up to always know Christ. Maybe you're like Ariel, born into a family where she was brought to church and baptized and will be taught the Scriptures, where we as a church family teach one another God's Word. But remember the love of God, the first time that it shone into your heart and you determined for yourself to follow after Christ. Remembering that love, being reminded of God's promises, that is how you abide in Him. By making Christ the constant object of your life, rooting your life in Him. One of my favorite passages, again, is Hebrews 12, chapter 2, where the author says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father." Fixing your eyes upon Jesus. That is how you abide in Him. It's a picture of abiding in Him. Think about the picture of Peter, right? When the disciples were out on the lake in the storm, and Jesus came walking to them on the water. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's You, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." And as long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he was cruising along on top of the water. But when he took his eyes off, he began to sink and to drown before Jesus picked him up and rescued him again. Fixing our eyes on, contemplating Christ, rooting our lives in Him. You know, the world is constantly trying to distract us. The world is constantly setting before us other things that we should pursue. You know, especially at Christmas time, at Advent. You know, we begin Advent today. We're just about a month away from Christmas, 4 weeks away. And what do many of us spend our time doing at Christmas? We spend time making lists of things we want, right? What are the gifts that I want this year? What do I want? What do I need? And the world would tell us that you need all sorts of stuff. The world will try to make you believe that you need the newest phone, the fastest car, the best of everything. But it's stuff that fills up our lives, and our lives cannot be defined by stuff. Again, it's John in his epistle in 1 John chapter 2, which speaks to us about this very thing. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, he writes and says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Abiding in Christ. Charles Spurgeon once described what it was like to abide in Christ, and this is how he put it. "To live for Christ is the highest style of living. Continue in it more and more. If the Lord changes your circumstances, still live for Christ. If you go up, take Christ up with you. If you go down, Christ will go down with you. If you are in health, live for Christ earnestly. If you're bound to a sick bed, live for Christ patiently. Go about your business and sing for Jesus. Or if He bids you stay at home and cough your life away, then sicken for Jesus. But let everything be for Him." This is abiding. This is remaining. This is continuing. This is being prepared for His coming again. It's having oil in our lamp so that we'll be ready when He comes. If we do this, we can be confident, as the text says, and unashamed before Him at His coming. We will be full of joy. Again, the Scriptures talk about at His coming, there will be both joy and sorrow. There will be rejoicing and wailing. Both of those things will be a reality when He comes again to judge the living and the dead. But if we're in Christ and we're ready and prepared, it will be the most joyful of all days. So we should be ready. Spurgeon also told a story. It sounded a lot like the story I told a few weeks ago about Pastor Leininger going to visit folks. Spurgeon one day was out visiting members of his congregation, and he found the housewife out scrubbing the front step. Sounds like he was in Highland Town back in the day. Found the woman scrubbing her steps, and when she saw Spurgeon arrive, she said, "Oh, Pastor, please forgive me for being caught in such a position." And Spurgeon replied to her, "I should like for my Lord to come and find me just as I found you, doing your daily work with all of your heart." That's how we abide in Christ. We don't have to become a missionary. We don't have to become a pastor. We don't have to do great things for His kingdom. Abide in Him. Love Him with all of your heart. Hide His word in your heart. Remind yourselves of the promises of God. And when He comes, your lamp will be lit and you will be ready and filled with joy. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would You help us to be ready? Lord, would You help us to have oil for our lamp? Would You help us to abide in You so that when You come, at that time that is unknown, when You come, it will be a day of great joy for us. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.